basically, that I gave to them, not because you follow Muhammad, but because we Americans have our own false prophets. And many of them are secular prophets who would say they don't even have a religion, but they do. Because everybody has a religion. There's nobody who does not have a set of beliefs about reality that they follow in their life, and that is their religion. So if that religion denies Jesus, denies God, it's a secular religion, an atheistic religion, but it's a religion. And the prophets around us have more voices than ever to shout at us, right? I mean, this media age we live in, we're inundated with more messages and more false messages than ever before. So we have to deal with true and false prophets too. Who are we going to believe out there? And the trouble is, a false prophet with a false message can ruin, can destroy lives. The truth matters. Ideas have consequences. And so people have been actually led far away from God by false prophets right in our own culture. So we need just as much as Muslims to be aware of false prophets. We as Christians who base our lives on the Bible, we claim to. But are we evaluating who influences us and understanding what is true and what is false? So, I'm going to give you basically what I shared with this group. How do you know that everything that you read on the internet is true? It's not all true, is it? And yet many people believe things that they hear that are not true. We do sometimes. If someone says he's a prophet, how do you know it is true? There are false prophets. And they will say, God said this, but God did not say it. Now, a false prophet may say some things that are true. In fact, usually false prophets say some true things to get a hearing, to get people pulled in. And then they also teach things that are false. So Jesus warned about false prophets. And he said, beware of false prophets. They come disguised as harmless sheep, but they are really wolves who will tear you apart. I love that picture. So a false prophet does not come along and say, hello, it's nice to meet you. I'm a false prophet. No. At first, he'll tell the truth, and he'll say nice things, and he'll say things you want to hear, and he sounds good, and he looks like a sheep. But really, he's a wolf. Really, he's like this. And before he's done, he'll tear apart your soul with lies. So how do you know who to believe? You know, I think about the Muslims. They've been lied to about God and what God is like. So they don't believe in a God that is truly a gracious God. And I'm almost finished reading the Quran right now. And it's a hard read. I really don't recommend it. I just suffered through it because I felt I needed to. But over and over and over again, judgment, a description, graphic descriptions of all the terrible things that you're going to go through in the fire if you don't believe Muhammad and follow the Quran. Over and over and over again. And then, you know, part of it is about what you should do to people who don't believe. You Muslims, you know, including killing them. And it's a picture of God that leaves out any way of salvation where we can know that we are forgiven and right with God. The core of the gospel is not there at all. I was asked by a Muslim, what's wrong with Islam? And my answer essentially, although I explained it in more detail, was the problem with Islam is Islam has no savior. And so Muhammad left out the most important thing in the whole Bible when he invented his religion. And where was I? So the false prophet is really somebody like this, but he might look like this. And here's the question. How do you know who to believe? Well, for one thing, take your time before you believe anybody. Don't rush into it. In Matthew 7, Jesus taught about how we can know who is a true and false prophet. He says, you can detect them by the way they act. You, just as you know a tree by its fruit, you do not pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. So how do you tell if a tree is going to produce good fruit? You have to look and observe it for a while, you know. You know, if you hit it up in the spring, you won't know whether it produces good fruit or not. So you have to observe. You have to take your time and be cautious about who you believe. So this good tree produces good fruit. We say, oh, wow. You know, the teaching of the gospel and the teachings of Jesus Christ have produced tremendous good fruit in the world for 2,000 years. And anybody who knows any of the history knows that. All the bad stuff that Christians are accused of, all of the bad stuff was when Christians didn't do what Jesus taught. So it wasn't Jesus' fault. It wasn't the fault of Christianity. It was the fault of a bunch of people who went astray. And so we have a message that has proven its worth over centuries. Good fruit. There's the tree that didn't bear very good fruit, I think, and that is the message that we're hearing from many people around us now. A message that's going to be the consequence. Now, Jesus is an example of a true prophet that bears good fruit. And what kind of fruit did Jesus produce? It was all good fruit. He healed people. He fed hungry people. He showed mercy. He forgave people. He even raised people from the dead. And most of all, he loved us so much that he gave himself to die on the cross and took all of our sin and guilt on himself so that if we will believe in him, we are completely forgiven and cleansed by God and made ready to go and be with God forever, to be in heaven, safe and secure with our Heavenly Father. That's the fruit that came from Jesus. Now, in John 10, Jesus taught the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and have life in all its fullness. Life in all its fullness is the fruit that comes out when you follow Jesus. If we are not experiencing that, we're probably falling short in the way that we are following Jesus in some way. Our faith needs strengthening. We need to understand a little more deeply his unconditional love for us and what he's done for us. And I'm not saying that life in all its fullness means that you never have pain. Not at all. There's plenty of pain in this world. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, Jesus said. I have overcome the world. Now, here's the thing about this spiritual war I want to interject here. Now, most war we go into, the armies go into, and they really don't know how it's going to come out. They might win, they might lose. In this war, it's quite different. Amen. Right on. We know the outcome. So in this battle that we are a part of, you know, I mean, war seems pretty threatening, even when you talk about spiritual war, and that's a figure of speech. But it is a real war. It's just not a war fought with guns. It's a war fought with, well, we're going to get into that. But we know how it's going to come out. So we don't have to be worried, anxious, discouraged when there are setbacks, when, you know, when we see bad things out there, which we do all the time, especially if you read the news, which you probably should read less news than you do. I should. But we know how it's going to come out. So praise God, we can be encouraged to be a part of winning this war. So Jesus said these words, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come they might have life and might have it more abundantly." Jesus never stole anything. He never murdered anyone. He never lied. You need to understand Muhammad's life story. He was stealing stuff. He was murdering people. He was lying all the time. Especially when he went back to Medina from Mecca, that's when he began to make a political movement out of Islam and developed an army and began to raid villages, kill people, take slaves. Such a contrast between Muhammad and Jesus. Huge. And I, you know, I was hoping that Muslims would see that. But a false prophet will say, it's okay to murder. You can lie if it'll further your cause and so on. That's exactly what Muhammad taught. Those things. You know, in our last century, Karl Marx was a false prophet. Lenin and Stalin were false prophets. And you could make a long list of them. But they were prophets of atheism. And they said, we're going to give everybody everything they need. Well, everybody likes to hear that. You know, everybody's going to get what you need from us. So follow us. And they solidified their power, and they taught their followers to murder, and they killed about 100 million people in the last century. False prophets of atheism. So a false prophet brings death. A true prophet brings life. And Jesus said, oh, yeah, there. That's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Today, false prophets are causing death still all over the world. You know, I think of the places I know about the most, Nigeria, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan. I understand that the Taliban in Afghanistan now controls more territory than at any time since they were overthrown back in 2002. They've been increasing their hold. And they are killing people. That's why we have a lot of Afghans coming to Europe. They're fleeing this evil force that's coming. So false prophets have the wrong way, and they do not have the truth, and they bring death, and they do not bring life. Now, Jesus was a true prophet, but he was more than a prophet. If you only think of him as a prophet, you don't understand completely who Jesus really is. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I know the way, I'll tell you the way. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I know the truth, I'm going to tell you the truth. He did tell us the truth, but he said, I am the truth. I myself. Did he say, I'll show you how to have life? I'll help you have life? No, he said, I am the life. Now, this is a lot more than just an ordinary prophet. I'm embellishing a little bit more with you, more than I said to all these Muslims. So here's another test, though, of anyone who claims to be from God. It's in 1 John 4. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God, and anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So love is essential for that person who says that they are speaking God's words to us and following God. If that person does not exhibit love in their life, they're not where they should be. They're not necessarily to be believed. Jesus said that there are two great commandments, right? Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. So every true prophet of God is going to show love in his life or her life. And every true prophet is going to try to do this. I mean, we'll all fall short of it. It's an ideal that we cannot reach in our human frailty, but it is what God's plan is. So to summarize, a true prophet brings good fruit, gives life, not death, and teaches love for God and others. So if you are a follower of Jesus here this morning, you are in a spiritual war. In fact, you're a soldier in that war, the Bible says. Well, this is where I ended my message, actually, to the Muslims. But I want to talk to us now about what this means for us. Because if there is a spiritual war, if we cannot avoid being part of it, and if we are called to be soldiers in that spiritual war, then the question is, what kind of soldier are we, and how can we be good soldiers and really be in the battle in the way God intends us to be? Now, as spiritual soldiers in a spiritual war, we have some weapons. And Ephesians talks about those weapons. So I'm going to read to you a little passage, Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. The belt of truth. The essential truth that's revealed in God's Word, the Bible, is what we stand on. It's a central thing that the soldier of Christ needs to be grounded in. It means you need to know your Bible. You need to read it a few times and have Bible studies and listen to good sermons and maybe on the radio also. And so that you develop yourself to be really a person centered in truth. And when we don't do this, you know, I don't go too much into that. But I do think that Christians in America today tend to have a problem of not having enough biblical grounding in our lives. We know the Bible less, studies show, than we did a generation ago. Or two generations ago. Put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Okay, right living. As a soldier, you're effective if you're living according to Jesus' commands. If you're living, if you're doing the right thing. And so righteous living is a huge part of our influence on the world. Enough said. The gospel. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. The gospel is the teaching that Jesus has died for our sins, and through him we are forgiven, completely accepted by God, safe in the Lamb, as somebody put it, and your position in Christ is secure, and you are unconditionally loved. Now, what peace there is when you know that, right? What peace to just rest in what God has done for you. You know that you could not be good enough to earn your way to heaven, but God has done everything needed. And that wonderful gospel is what we should walk on, the shoes of the gospel of peace. we walk through the thorns and the hot pavement and the rocks and the dirt and the daily life protected by the shoes. The gospel protects you. It's your security. Faith. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Faith is simply believing God. I choose to believe God. Now, I'm a person, maybe like many of you, that sometimes doubt, sometimes ask. The thought comes in my mind, is this really true? I think most people have doubts at times. We're human. That's why. It's not some fatal flaw that you can question. But what God calls us to do is, based on all that we know and all of our experience, to choose to believe Him. You can't scientifically prove the Christian faith, but we have so many evidences, enough that we can logically say, I can believe this, and I choose to believe it. So faith is a choice, actually. It's also a gift of God, the Bible says. So you have to ask God for faith many times. Please help me have faith, Lord. But that's your choice. Okay, and then salvation. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Salvation, the helmet that protects your head. I mean, your salvation is who you are. You are a saved person, saved from the penalty of sin, saved from guilt, saved from being rejected by God in order to be accepted by God. That's who you are. That's a vital protection in your daily life. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So it's this book, the revealed scriptures from God to us. And then finally, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Prayer is our final weapon. So these are the weapons that we as Christian soldiers have. You don't have to buy ammo, These weapons are available to everybody without a license, but you don't want to do concealed carry. You carry them openly. We are equipped so that we can fight the spiritual war. Those hobbits in the movie, they didn't think they could do anything. They were weak, small little people. But they were the key to success. We are God's chosen ones to be part of the battle that is being waged. We are called to be His soldiers, and we are equipped. We can do it. What do we do? How does this work? The objective of our spiritual war, it revolves around truth, making truth known, giving out what people need to know to come to God. Because it's a battle for what people believe, and it's a battle for their souls. We see that in Austria with Muslims, people who have been led astray, and they read a gospel, and they will say, this is so beautiful, I've never read anything like it. And they're attracted, and they want to know more. And because the truth has a power, of who God really is and what he's done for us. Our job is to spread truth. So now, what makes a good soldier? Think about, how many have been in the military? A lot of us. Look at you. When you were in the military, you cared about being a good soldier, I believe. Most of the people that are serving do. They really want to be able to do the job because they realize the whole country is counting on them. And so as a soldier of Jesus Christ, you need to care about being his soldier. Care about being part of spreading the truth. Secondly, a soldier, actually, being a soldier becomes a part of his or her identity. Once you've been a soldier, you're always a soldier, right? That's always an essential part of your identity and who you are, and how you see yourself. So I believe that God's plan for us Christians is to see ourselves as his soldiers, talks about in the scripture, and that we take that seriously. We are going to be a part of this battle. We're not going to be shirkers and stay home and hide. We're going to be part of the battle. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, a good soldier prepares and trains for the battle. So it's the training, actually. It's the preparation that makes the American military the strongest in the world, that makes a small number of American soldiers able to defeat large numbers of enemies oftentimes. Soldiers have prepared. Now, we soldiers for Jesus need to prepare ourselves. What have you done to prepare yourself to be a better soldier for Jesus? You could think about that the rest of this week and ask yourself, how can I prepare better? Peter talks about be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks a reason for the hope that is within you. And the first verses, our first words are be ready, be prepared. So how prepared are you to stand convincingly for what you believe? And do it in a wise way that expresses the love of Jesus through your life. Not an angry, argumentative way, but a way that can actually connect with people. And I'm closing the sermon now and just giving you a challenge. Many of you may not be able to do this, but I'm going to offer a class in the next hour on just how to do this, how to be soldiers and prepare ourselves to interact with people about truth. It's based on a study called Tactics by Greg Kuchel, and it's a series of 5 lessons, I think, that have impressed me so much and helped me a lot, and I think would help you. So I want to invite some of you that can do that to stay after, and we're going to go downstairs. I think we'll go downstairs and have a lesson on this, and it could be part of your preparation. And if you can't do it this time, you could come next week and be a part, because if we don't prepare ourselves, we will not be very effective. And there is a spiritual war out there, and Jesus calls each one of us to be part of it. So I'm done, I guess, for this morning. But I hope I've given you some things to think about. And we're going back to Austria September 26th for 3 months. So we appreciate your prayers as we do that. And Sue Mickelson is going back with Ruth and I and spending a month to minister there. And so if you think of us, please hold us up. Dear God, thank you that there is a war going on. We hate even thinking about war, but it's a reality. And so we are part of it. But Lord, help us to be good soldiers and to be prepared soldiers. And I pray for many Muslims all around the world right now who are questioning whether they can really believe Muhammad. And I ask that you would send them dreams and visions and send them the gospel in some way so they can hear the truth, open their hearts, I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a great work among Muslims in the world today. I thank you for the actually millions that have come to Jesus in the last few years. And I pray that even many more will come. And I pray that you would help us to stand for the truth wherever we are here in this country. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to be downstairs in about 15 minutes.